we have as our mission here at Lakeway, seeking Christ, loving others, impacting lives. And the way that we see lives are impacted is through serving, and serving the church and serving the world. And that's what this series, Action, is about. I think I told you before, when I looked at the word action, I just kept looking at it and something seemed to pop out to me. What is in this word? And then I just thought about how it's really three words. I act on. And so we've been talking about I act on things. And I really think that this is a needed series for myself as well as for all of us. Now, all these announcements that we had today were really about this. They were about action, most of them. And what I'm looking for is for God to open up our hearts and our eyes and our hands to a new work in our lives, starting with me, of us becoming more of a people who are, as we looked last week, who are devoted and zealous and rich in good deeds, all of these things. Not because they earn us a way into God's family or into his favor, but because we love him and want others to know his love, and because we're so grateful and joyful for what Jesus has done in our lives, we want to find expression for that. We find expression through praise, through singing, but also through service, by the things that we do, by the good deeds that we do. So we've been spending some time in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, a man of action. And our theme for this series comes from chapter 4. And it says in Nehemiah 4:6, "So we built the wall, for the people had a mind to work." And today we're going to look at this idea of how the work got accomplished, and it really got accomplished through something called cooperation. The first week we talked about I act on needs, and the need Nehemiah became aware of was that the wall of Jerusalem was in terrible condition. And in that day and time, if your city had walls that were broken down, then it meant you were susceptible to attack, and it meant you were in great danger. And people could not settle there in security. And so Nehemiah knew this was not just a structural or an architectural thing that needed to happen. It was an important thing that affected all of the people, and it was a necessary thing to be addressed. And when he heard about this, he responded to it, first with his heart. He wept and he mourned, and then with prayer, he fasted and prayed, and then with action, as he asked the king for permission and supplies and other things for the rebuilding project, which took great courage to do. And that was what we talked about last week. I act with courage. So we just maybe look over last week quickly. We were talking about when you see a need, respond with prayer, courage, and action. And we talked about Nehemiah's profile of courage. The first, that courage, we saw that courage is facing up to things rather than ducking out. And most all of us, I would say, have some temptation about ducking out of things. I know I do. But courage is when we just don't allow ourselves to duck out, but we just stand and face up to what is going on. And that's what Nehemiah did. Secondly, courage is about venturing out rather than holding back. And sometimes when we come to the place where we see a need and we know that something needs to be done, we face the need, but then it takes an additional step to say, I'm going to go ahead and step out and be a part of what is needed to meet that need. And that's venturing out instead of holding back. And finally, we saw that courage comes from leaning on rather than conjuring up. Courage is not all about you psyching yourself up to be able to face something or venture out about something. It's all about you leaning in to God and finding from him the strength and the courage to be able to do what he's called you to do. And so that's what we talked about last week. We talked about courage. And maybe this is as good a place as any just to acknowledge that we are all on a growth path. We're all on a grace path. We don't have this down. We're still learning. We fall short. We mess up. We still have a long ways to go. And this isn't about going into guilt or going into shame because of our failings. It's about leaning into grace and listening to God's still small voice that encourages us to get back up and to keep going. So I want you to make sure that that's where you go with these messages, not into shame, not into guilt, but into encouragement as you listen to God's still small voice that says, you can be a part of this, and I want you to be a part of this. So today we're talking about cooperation. I act on cooperation, and I have to say right up front that I'm not sure on is the best preposition here, but I have to go with it because it's a part of the word action. You know, I can't say something different, so you just have to kind of go with me on this and say I act on cooperation. And remember, when we see that word, I really want you to key in on thinking of what it's saying. It's saying I act on something. There's action that I'm doing. Now, cooperation means that we work together in service. I'm not saying there aren't times that we work alone, but the pattern, by and large, is that we come together and we work together. And so when we think about just kind of the large picture of what happens as when Jesus comes, he comes and he brings a team together of 12 disciples. He just doesn't go out on this solo work. He gathers people around him. And by the way, it's interesting. I was reading a little bit more of the book, Action Trumps Everything. And this is about entrepreneurs and how all of us can kind of have this key into some of the things that they do. We think of these people as sort of lone rangers who sort of get an idea and they go after it and they build some big company or something like that. Did you know one of the key factors for these people is they bring people along with them? They see a very key part of what they do is to include and involve other people in what they're doing. And so cooperation is this thing that flows just throughout so many things. As Jesus came, he brought a team together. And then when he established, what he established when he was here is a team that we call the church. And when the early disciples went and spread the good news of salvation in Christ all over the world, guess what they did? Everywhere they went, they established teams that we call churches. Because we were meant to be together, and we were meant to work together. I think about this passage in the New Testament in Hebrews 10. And right before this verse 24, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." And it says, "And let us consider..." Now, and it's going to talk about how we gather together in a minute, but let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. There's this kind of mutual thing going on where we're sort of encouraging one another to be involved in these works of service. And then it goes on to say, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So there's this, all of this stuff is tied together. We come together, we spur, and this is an idea of just really, you know, we're like a little barb to each other. You know, a prod. We're prodding one another on to be involved in these acts of service. And we do that together and we work together. Now, at first glance, where we're going to be today is in Nehemiah chapter 3. And at first glance, this looks like a great chapter to skip over. I don't know if you've looked at it yet in your Bibles. But you know what it is? It's just a bunch of names of people who worked on the wall. And you kind of, in fact, I was looking at one book. I couldn't even find anything that it said about chapter 3. It's a little bit like, you can just skip over that. And that's sort of the temptation, but there's really some important things that we're going to look at today. You know, I wondered, why didn't Nehemiah just say, and then we all got together and built the wall? But instead, he takes time to list these people and to talk about where they worked and a little bit about who they were. And it wouldn't be a great passage to have for responsive reading or reading in unison, because, you know, all these names would be tough to pronounce. I can't pronounce them. But instead, what Nehemiah does, instead of just this summary statement, he spends what's in our Bibles 32 verses of this book to tell us about these people. We're going to read just a couple today, and starting at the beginning. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zachar, son of Imri, built next to them. Now we're going to jump down. I think we have one more. In verse 5, the next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. And then just verse 20. Next to him, Barak zealously repaired another section from the angle to the entrance of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. So our theme today is, when you see a need, respond with prayer, with courage, and with cooperative action. Cooperative action. So what did it take to build the wall? What did it take to build the wall? Well, first of all, it took a people. The simple truth is, Nehemiah could not build the wall alone. You know, as much as he had a heart to do it, as much as he had supplies to do it, as much as he had time to do it, he still could not do it alone. And that goes for so many other endeavors in which you and I are called to be engaged in. Things that you heard about today in announcements are not things that can be done alone. People need to come together to work and to be a part of helping in these things. And again, we go back to our passage here. We built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. The wall project got finished because a people came together with a mind to work. And this reminded me of some scriptures in the New Testament, and one we've already talked about, Titus 2:14, how Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, to purify for himself a what? A people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. A people are needed in order to accomplish the good works. In 1 Peter 2, talks about how we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once, Peter says, you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So here he's talking about a people, and now look where he goes with that. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires, which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your what? Your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Peter says, you are a people of God. And because of that, you need to be a people that come together to work together so that your good deeds may be seen by others and God may be glorified. So first of all, for the project of the wall being rebuilt to be done, it took a people. And secondly, it took a people of all kinds to do this work. Now, in this list, Nehemiah not only tells us who, but he also tells us a little about some of their lives. We're just going to go through this quickly, but I want you to try to catch some of this. So he tells us about how Eliashib is the high priest and his fellow priests. They were working. And then a little later, it talks about the goldsmiths repaired a section, and one of the perfume makers made repairs as well. And then there's a ruler of a half district that got involved. There was the ruler of a half district who's had help from his daughters in this project. And then it talks about there were priests from the surrounding region that came and helped on the wall. There were temple servants living on the hill that made repairs. There was the guard at the east gate that made repairs. And finally, talks about between the room above the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and merchants made repairs. So here we have like an amazing array of people who are involved in this building project. Every person was needed to help rebuild the wall. Didn't matter what your day job was, whether you were a preacher or a perfume maker, a ruler or a daughter, from here or not from here, you know, they were all a part of the work. And Romans 12 says this about us, and just notice how it says each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. We are different. We are different, but we come together for a common work. We come together in order to work together. And I believe that we should celebrate our differences and celebrate our diversity. And this is the part, this is a part of the beauty of the church, and something that I personally love, that we can all be different, but we can come together as a people and work together. In the church, we may be different, but we are all one in Christ. I've told some of you about this, but I'll go ahead and say it again. Before I ever came to Lakeway over 11 years ago, and we were in the process of talking with the church, one night I had a dream. And in this dream, I was walking on a sidewalk outside of what I thought was this church. And on the inside of the church, there was a celebration going on. There was a party. I think it was someone's anniversary. And what struck me was, as I walked up the sidewalk and came in the doors, it was an African-American family that were being the ones who were the ones celebrating, and the room was just filled with diversity. And it was so exciting to me that people from all walks of life, from every different kind of background, could come together and share in joy life together as the church, as the body of Christ. And this is what church should be about, or should be like. It should be a place where we can be way different and still be way on the same team, you know, where there's just this unity we have amidst our diversity, amidst our differences. There's a place on this wall that needs to be built in this church, a place for you, a place for you to work and to belong. And all you need to do is just show up. You just need to be here and just be a part of the love that's happening here and be a part of the work that is happening here. Now, I was going to take time to do this, and I don't really have time. 1 Corinthians 12, if you know this passage, it just talks about how the church is like a physical body, and all of us have these different functions. You know, somebody's a hand, somebody's a foot, you know, somebody's an ear. I don't think that's mentioned, but I'm sure it belongs in there somehow. And just about how all of these parts are different, and yet they're one body. They're one body. And this is what was happening. I'm just going to breeze through these. I'm not going to read these, but if you're interested, it's 1 Corinthians 12, 14, all the way down to verse 27. And it just says at the very end, I'm going to read that last verse, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." There is no person who is a follower of Christ that could come into any church and say, I don't belong, because God calls us to come and to belong to each other and to a body, and not only to belong, but to work together. So, we've talked about what it took to build the wall. It took a people. It took a people of all kinds, and it took a people of all kinds working together. One of the things that you run into over and over in this chapter is this phrase, next to him, or next to them, or the word adjoining. So they were each doing their own work, but they were also working shoulder to shoulder, next to each other. And so this is one thing I thought about. I thought about how each section of the wall had to come together. They couldn't be independent people just doing what they wanted, like, well, here's my, you know, 12 feet or 15 feet or whatever, and I'm just going to build this great wall, you know, that's just going to be right here, and it's going to be all about me. Because you know what? I can't leave a gap between me and the guy who's building next to me. We got to find a way to join this wall together. So, hey, you know, maybe we're going to use your brick on this one, and then we're going to use my brick on the next one, but we're going to overlap these bricks. We have to work together in order to make this wall come together. And so, yes, there was independent work that had to be done. Each man had his own job, but there was also dependent work going on, where we had to come together with the people who were next to us, and we had to work to make that wall come together. And that's a great picture of working together. You know what drew, if you know Allison, our daughter is with Wycliffe, you know what drew her to Wycliffe? They said, whatever you do, whatever you're gifted at, we can put you to work in missions. We have a place for you. So Allison loves numbers, and they said, we've got a place for you, because it takes a lot of people doing what God has gifted them to do to translate the Bible for people who don't have it in their own heart language. So whatever it is that's your gift, whatever it is that you do, you are needed, and you can be a part of this effort. That's what Wycliffe said to her. And that's what the church says to anyone, or should say to anyone. Whatever you do, whatever your gift is, and God has given each of you a gift, it can be used. Now, it's not going to be maybe the same thing as somebody else. It may seem not as important, but it is important. It may be up front, it might be in the background, but you have a gift. It is important, and you can be used. You belong. Our gifts differ, but we work together. Notice how, again, some passages in the New Testament, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? For the common good. The common good was the building of the wall in Nehemiah. They each had different gifts, but they came together to do one project in order that the common good could be served. You know, one question I had, and you know, we might ask it in our breakout time, is, you know, why didn't Nehemiah just assemble a bunch of masons? Because they build walls. You know, why didn't he just say, let's get the skilled guys out here, let's get the professional guys out here, and let's, you know, let's do this job right and get a bunch of people who know what they're doing, instead of a bunch of priests and a bunch of perfume makers, you know, who probably don't know anything about building a wall. But it was so important that people took ownership of this job. It wasn't something they farmed out. Some of the way that Nehemiah constructed this work, or had it arranged or organized, was that some people were building the wall right where their house was. So, you know, they were pretty interested in making sure that that wall right there was built, because they had a personal investment in it. And sometimes, you know, it takes that kind of involvement for ourselves, where we realize this is also a benefit to me, the work that we're doing. Let me go on. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. The Holy Spirit has given each of you a gift, just as he has chosen to do. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. Ephesians 4 says this, but to each of one of us, grace, and he's talking about giftedness, has been given as Christ apportioned it. And then he skips down a little bit, a couple verses later, it says, it was Christ who gave some to be apostles. These are gifts. Some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. For what purpose? To prepare God's people for works of service. Our gifts are to be used in works of service. You know, it's interesting that Nehemiah felt it important to point out a particular attitude of one of the builders, and we read this earlier. But it says, next to him, Barak, zealously repaired another section. He just didn't repair it, but there was something about zeal going on in Barak. And so this idea of his attitude in doing what God had called him to do was important. He just wasn't showing up there, but he was showing up there with zeal. And you know what's interesting? Is that zeal ends up getting associated with service in a number of places. And a couple of them I'm going to show you this morning. In Romans 12, 11, it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Notice it says this, serving the Lord. Zeal in serving the Lord. Zeal should be shown. It comes out by you serving the Lord. And then in this passage in Titus 2, again, we go back to Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawless, to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous, zealous for good works. So just saying that zeal is linked to serving, it should come out in our service. Now, let's go back. What did it take to build the wall? It took a people of all kinds working together, overcoming challenges. In this chapter, there's one reference to some who didn't put their shoulders to the work. It was the people, it says, the men of Tekoa repaired a section, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. There will always be some who have a reason or an excuse why they don't get involved. They're too busy, it's not their idea, they don't have anything to offer. And these are internal challenges within the group. And these pop up again in later chapters where Nehemiah has to address other internal problems. Problems within the group, and those are some of the hardest problems to deal with, are internal problems. But they weren't the only challenges that had to be overcome. In the next chapter, in Nehemiah 4, it says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry. He was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? It actually took 52 days. Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was at his table, said, what they are building, if even a fox climbed on it, he would break down their wall of stones. And so right here is this kind of challenge that Nehemiah is facing. And notice what he does. He turns to God. Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. And over a number of times in Nehemiah chapter 4, what does Nehemiah do? We prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Later on in the chapter, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. And when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. And from that day on, half of my men did the work while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand, and they held a weapon in the other. These are some of the things that happen in Nehemiah chapter 4, the outside threats. Nehemiah said the work is extensive, it's spread out, we're widely separated from each other on the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. What I want you to see is that Nehemiah met each of these by depending and looking to God. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I seem to be always surprised that there would be challenges and opposition when you're trying to do a good thing. Doesn't that just seem like God should just sort of pave the way in front of you and make sure you've just got clear sailing, like there shouldn't be anything you'd have to worry about? But I can almost guarantee if you decide to get involved in a good work, there's going to be challenges. Some of them may be internal. Some of them may be external. Some of them might even be right here inside of you. Some of the biggest challenges might go on right between these ears as you have to fight your own doubts and you have to fight your own problems. But it shouldn't be a surprise. Whenever we're trying to make even a little headway in kingdom work, challenges will surface and opposition will arise. But what we should notice is that in each of these cases, as I mentioned, Nehemiah takes them to God, and that's how we are to overcome them. Let's talk about action items as we close out today. First of all, take your place where God is at work. There are walls all around us that are broken down, and there are efforts to rebuild them, or there needs to be an effort to rebuild them. And you have a place, you have a spot. It might seem small or it might seem big, but whatever it is, you are needed. Your heart, your hands. So find your place and take your place. Work in cooperation, not in competition. Now, when you work together, you have to be flexible. You have to keep your ego in check. You have to be willing to give a little. And you need to let love cover over some stuff. And you need to be willing to forgive, because all of that starts to come into play when you're working together. You have to watch out for competition. Now, competition is okay at the Olympics, right? But it can be a problem in kingdom work. We're not trying to build a name for ourselves. What we want is glory, praise, and honor to be given to God. And we can lose sight of that. So work in cooperation, not in competition. And finally, as we said, I think last week, about overcoming challenges with courage, overcome challenges by calling on God. One day, there was a false rumor that got started, and Nehemiah knew what was going on. And we read about this in chapter 6. It says, they were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work, and it will not be completed. Nehemiah says, but I prayed, now strengthen my hands. You see, we need God's strength to overcome the challenges. We need the Holy Spirit to be active in our lives to meet the challenges and the opposition. So come, take your place. Come for you. You will be blessed for doing it. Come for others. They need you to be next to them. And most of all, come for God, because he's calling you, because he loves you, because he is your life.